Hi everyone, it's Eli. You know how sometimes you stumble upon something truly game-changing in healthcare? Well, I found it. Kinetisense. This cutting-edge motion capture technology is transforming movement, assessment, and recovery. Imagine getting instant AI-driven insights without any wearables on your patient. That's right, no ping pong balls needed. Just pure, accurate data. Perfect for boosting athletic performance, pinpointing imbalances, and refining rehab. Top professionals worldwide trust Kinetisense to maximize productivity and results. Check out our partner page to learn more. Experience the revolution in movement. Welcome to Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More, the podcast that gives you a viewpoint in sports medicine that can't be found anywhere else. I'm your host, Eli Halleck, and we have a fantastic show ahead of us today. So let's get started. Welcome to Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More. Today, my co-host is our producer, Gabriel Halleck. How are you doing today, brother?
I'm doing pretty well, thanks. Happy to be here. Looking forward to it.
Nice to have you here. We all know why you're here today, because we're going to probably talk a little football. And well, that's your passion outside of being married and being a teacher.
Love it.
And I have a feeling we'll discuss that a tad bit. But that's not our sole thing today. Today, we're going to be talking to two guys that I know, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on the day. They were a blast to have. This was several years ago. They were our interns. They were at the same time. And we had a ton of fun. Probably a little bit of quite often too much fun. It wasn't like going to work when they were around. So we enjoyed every day. So I'd like to introduce to the two listeners we have today, Michael Carter, the Moorpark Raiders, and Nick Wiseman, athletic trainer of the Las Vegas Raiders. How you doing, Mike?
That connection. I'm doing great. I totally didn't make that connection. I forgot about that.
Come on. I was thinking about that the whole time. Yeah, we got the Raiders here today. We got Moorpark and Vegas. How about you, Nick? How are you doing, buddy?
I'm great. I appreciate the welcome, and I'm kind of nervous. Not gonna lie, the introduction made me nervous. So this is gonna be fun, though.
Well, let's be honest. There's one thing Joel and I were always good at, and that was making you guys nervous. But that's okay. Educationally, it worked out. You guys turned out to be pretty good athletic trainers, set up in a good location, working well, and creating good careers. Or at least that's what I'm hearing. True?
Yes.
I think so.
All right. Well, Mike, let's start with you first, because you were the first one logged in. As always, you were always on time. So we'll go to Nick second. But Mike, tell us a little about yourself, where you're from originally, and what got you to where you're at now. Just a quick snippet.
From Camarillo, California, Ventura County. Been here basically my entire life. Got into athletic training when I was in junior college, kind of got hurt. That was the first time I actually interacted with an athletic trainer. Never even knew what they were in high school. My high school didn't have that sports medicine program.
So funny how often that's what it takes, us getting injured to become an athletic trainer, right?
Yeah, actually, that athletic trainer I personally interacted with is kind of like a coworker for me now, but just a little side nippet. I went to junior college at Oxnard College, met their athletic trainer, and he kind of set me on my path to where I eventually got into the CSUN program. And he was actually the one who told me, his name's Yoshiyuki Shiratori. He's the one who told me to put you as my first
son. Yoshi! Yeah. Shout out to Yosh. How you doing, man? Yeah. Long time Yoshi. No see.
Yeah, she's my guy.
Great guy. Great athletic trainer. Great person.
Told me to go to you as my first side. And then I actually got put at Moorpark College, which is where I work now. Technically, I work for a hospital, but I work at Moorpark College. It's where it's been ever since.
Now, we just need to clear one thing real quick. So you were told to come to me and be an intern with me. Well, what about Joel?
I've never heard anything about Joel. Not my
Okay. So we got that on air now. We'll make sure that Joel knows that. We'll make this into a little clip. We'll send it to him, and he'll get to hear it over and over and over. Fantastic.
If only he could have been here, you know?
If only. So, Nick, jump it over to you now, buddy. Tell us a little bit about yourself and where you've been and how you ended up where you're at.
I'm from Topanga, California, which is up in the mountains of Santa Monica. I went to CSUN same as Mike, gone to the program. I went to Moorpark College before that, though. So I went there for community college 2 years. I was a athlete there. I played soccer for the school.
So we have the Moorpark connection here. I'd forgotten about that. That's right.
Yeah. And actually, just like Mike, I got hurt. And Charisse was the first athletic trainer that I've ever seen or met. And
let's all say hi to Charisse right
yes,
now.
Hey, hi, Charisse. Miss you.
This is awesome.
She is.
Yeah. But no, Charisse, literally when I got hurt and I told her just like during a treatment session, she asked me what I wanted to do. And I told her med school. I wanted to be a physician. And she said, that's cool. But have you heard of athletic training? You're into sports. You're trying to go into medicine. Have you ever heard of it? And I was like, no, not at all. My high school didn't have an athletic trainer. So she was actually my first mentor. And she actually, after the soccer season, she invited me to do some spring hours, some observation hours. And I just fell in love with it. Applied to the CSUM program and then graduated in 2020. And then after 2020, I got a call from Steve Greck, who's the head athletic trainer at CSUM currently. And he asked me if, actually it was Matt Brandt who called me. Shout out to both of them. They asked if I was interested in becoming a GA after I graduated. And I didn't have anything lined up, so I said yes. And so I was a graduate assistant, worked primarily with women's tennis and then secondary to men's basketball, men's soccer, and then men's and women's track and field.
Now, just so some people know, we've got a few people out there that listen to the podcast, usually relatives. That's about it. Outside of that, it's just friends, family, you know, that's about it. But some people, yeah, hit or miss. We've got some people that actually don't know what the initials CSUN stands for. So if you don't mind, real quick, Michael, explain what CSUN stands for.
Cal State University Northridge.
So in the Cal State system, there are several schools up and down the coast. And Cal State University Northridge is where you both graduated from. I've been a clinical preceptor, so someone that trains future athletic trainers for the Cal State Northridge Athletic Training Program now for 25 years, which is, yeah, thanks, Nick. That great. Make me feel old. I appreciate that. Yeah. Okay, got it. Yeah, I know. Yeah, we might have to edit that part out. But anyway, great program. It's been around quite some time. It just changed up into or bounced up to the master's program. So it'll be intriguing to see how much better the students are coming out with a master's degree over the next few years, as opposed to a bachelor's degree. Thank you for clearing that up. Currently, though, Nick, you are no longer as a GA, which is a graduate assistant.
Graduate, yep.
And as a grad assistant, you put in a couple hours here and there, right?
Yeah. And most of those hours unpaid. We worked our hours. We had a schedule. You had to be in the clinic from this time to this time. But you can only put in a certain amount of those hours, if you know
what
I mean.
Yeah, quote, unquote.
You know what I mean.
You're working quote, 9 to 5, you're really working 6 to 8, and that's a.m. to p.m.
Yes. Most days were just like that. And then on top of that, I had to do a thesis and grad project, so it was all fun. I don't remember any of my last year as a graduate assistant, but I passed. I survived.
So, Michael, do you buy that? Do you believe it was all fun? I think I'm calling a little BS there.
I can verify because that was during COVID. I was still in the program and I got put at CSUN as a clinical side, and I can verify it wasn't.
You know, right before we started, our co-host asked me, so how long has it been? And it just blends at this point. And I was literally trying to remember, and all I could say is, I'm pretty sure they graduated right before COVID, but I couldn't remember because it all blurs when you've been a preceptor so long.
Yeah, it's just different heights and hairstyles. I think
Mike had it worse. My final spring semester, my graduating semester was when everything went shut down. So like that March of.
So then you were the interns at our school. In football season 2020 or 2019?
No, 2019. Fall
2019 football season. Yeah. And that was a fun semester. We all had fun that year.
Oh, yeah.
That was probably the best first experience I could have had in athletic training, for sure.
And that was my first, I don't know about you, Mike, but that was my first experience with football. That was my first experience with football as an athletic trainer. And I think I can probably say that it was probably the reason why I wanted to pursue professional football. Because it was an adrenaline rush every single day.
It really is. I'm the first one to admit it. It's my favorite sport as an athletic trainer to cover, which is horrible to say I have a favorite. It's like saying you have a favorite child, but it's because it is an adrenaline rush. You never know what you're going to get. Yeah. I mean, from one day to the other, but let me tell you, by week 16, I'm done with them. I can't wait to move on to basketball and soccer, which is what we have, Mike. We've got that lucky little niche where when we're done with them, bring me somebody else, please. I'm done with you guys, right?
Yeah. It's funny because you're working with the other athletes the whole time too in junior college. You work with like the in season first and out of season are allowed to come in after and they just have to wait. Football kind of owns the clinic while it's football season, to be honest. They just outnumber everybody else. But talking about how that was a good experience, I didn't realize football is like basically war and you're a medic. And you're just there.
You're triaging. That's what you're doing. Nick's laughing, crazy. But Nick, how would you describe it now?
No, it's true. Especially the professional level. These guys come for everything. It's literally any scraper bruises the end of the world until they're seen by us. And then it kind of calms them down and be like, okay, it's not as bad as I thought.
I'm not dying. I'm not going to lose my limb. No, it's okay.
Thank you for the Band-Aid over my boo-boo. But
the athletic trainer says it's just a cocoa. I'm not dying.
That's actually interesting because I feel like my experience is the other way where, I mean, you have some athletes like that, but a lot of them hide it because they think we're going to not let them play,
which is interesting.
And I was like, I'm pretty sure if you talk to any pro, they get hurt, they'd come to you and actually try to get better.
For sure. I mean, it goes both ways. There's definitely the 25% of the league or of the team that's like, they're dogs. They're like, they get hurt. They're going to hold it to themselves. They're going to feel better by foam rolling and going to the tubs in contrast, and they'll be fine to play every Sunday. But there are the guys that get a minor injury, like a grade 1 ankle sprain takes them out for 2 weeks. And it's like, you have everything you need to succeed here. You're just not putting in the effort to do so. I wouldn't say it's the majority of the league, but there are those guys that are like, they need to be 100% to go out. Almost like track athletes.
Almost. Well, at that level, they're finely tuned machines. So expectations are a little different.
They're looking for the 1% to get better. They already have everything. They're just looking for that 1% to get them to beat the other
99%er.
Exactly.
That's all you're treating, 99%ers, where Mike and I are getting those 12%ers, 10%ers. Well, every now and then I might get a 50%er, but I got high school kids, so nothing against my boys. I'll take care of every single one of them any day. But
I want to cut in real quick. Michael, in regards to balancing your roles, how do you manage the different responsibilities of injury prevention, rehabilitation, and the admin duties and tasks that you have to do at a community college?
Ooh, he's cutting to the core on that.
Shots fired, man.
During football season, it gets pretty crazy. A lot of the admin duties are like, we record every single treatment we do just so, I mean, we have backing. We can go back, see what's going on with them and follow it, but also to like, there's evidence of what we're doing here to like higher ups. That sometimes can get delayed a few days or weeks, depending on how crazy it is in the clinic. Most of the time, athlete comes first. Athlete comes in, we're going to help them first. We're not going to usually be like, sit out there, I'm staying on the computer. Although that does happen sometimes. Most of the time it's athlete comes first.
I like how Nick is laughing at that one too, going, yep.
Yeah.
No, that definitely happens some of the time. A lot of the time it's athlete comes first.
Now, Mike, your role right now, you're one of three athletic trainers at Moore Park, correct?
Correct.
And you're there full time pretty much?
Yeah, it's kind of a weird situation. I'm hired through Simi Valley Adventist Health to work at Moore Park College. We have other athletic trainers who work at high schools in the area, kind of like just an outreach program. Right now I'm there 9 to 5:30 Monday through Friday, and then I can only work the 40 hours, so we kind of have to finesse it however we can.
Excuse me while I laugh. Yeah. Nick and I are going 40 hours.
Really? Yep. That'd be lovely. I'd take that.
Yep. That's partly why I took it. So if like I work a football game, I have to like shift, take a day off, or luckily our my athletic director last year hired me part-time provisionally. So if I did go over the 40 hours, I just start logging my hours through the school so I could.
That's nice.
Yeah. Not just working for free, like in school.
I'm in awe of the concept of a 40-hour work week.
I love it.
Yeah.
So, Nick, 40-hour work week.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be nice?
That's a dream right there.
Do you even get that in the off season right now?
Yeah. So currently, I'm glad you brought that up. So currently, we're in the off season. This is OTAs. This is not even mandatory yet. For people to be
now, remember, we're talking to family members that have no idea what OTAs
organized,
are.
Was it organized team
activities?
Activities.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm a football nerd, man. Go ahead.
He's a nerd and a football nerd, so it's all good. That's why we love him.
Same. You're welcome.
Same. Yeah, yeah. So this is off season technically. I mean, this week we've had to come in. I've gone in probably 5:30 a.m. and left at 6 p.m. And this is the so-called off season. Off season. So we're
off season.
Well, like you still have at least 8 hours to yourself in the day, so you're good.
Sure. Sleeping.
Go home, eat dinner, and then knock out, so I can wake up at 5.
Wait, you eat? They let you eat? Nice. Oh, yeah. No, very good.
At least they give us food. They give us lunch, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, which is...
Well, we saw the water bottle. They gave you a water bottle, so that's good. They keep you hydrated. Always important to keep the medical staff hydrated.
And I say this very just jokingly because I'm very, very grateful for where I am. It's a dream. It's a dream job to be in the NFL, to be at the highest level. There's a surreal moment every day. I grew up as a NFL fan. I played fantasy football. I played Madden all my years. And to think now that I'm actually working with these high caliber athletes that I remember watching and playing Madden, and now working with them and being their health care provider, it's a blessing, honestly.
Yeah. What athletic trainer hasn't dreamed about being at the pro level at some point in their career? So when you get to your dream job, whatever that dream job is, it's kind of cool to hit it. Yeah. So
I want to piggyback off that for a second. Nick, you said a minute ago that you've kind of idolized, put these athletes on a pedestal. I'm sure there was a level of awe when you first walked into the facilities and you got your first experience with these players. At what point did that start to recede and you started to see these professional athletes that I went to Raider games religiously in Los Angeles with my uncle in the 90s, in the 80s, until I screwed it up and he said I'd never take me again.
That's on a different episode. That's a different episode.
How long did it take you to have that where they're just athletes and you just need to give them the help instead of looking at them with rose-colored glasses?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I started my first NFL experience as an athletic trainer was a summer intern for the Los Angeles Rams. The person I said prior, Steve Greck, he gave me the opportunity to be a summer intern for them. And the first day, this was right after the Matthew Stafford trade for Jared Goff, the switch. And I thought Matthew Stafford was a king. Like just him and Megatron, I would play them as
I play Madden a couple times a week. Yeah,
yes,
go ahead.
Yes. I had them on my fantasy team, racking those 5,000 yards a season, that kind of stuff. And so the first experience I had, one of those moments like you're saying, that he walked into we were at a Marriott hotel because the LA Rams have their summer training camp is in UC Irvine. They use the UC Irvine campus. And so we were just in a hotel, makeshift training room, all the interns and the full-time staff are just, chilling, getting ready for the treatments. And Matthew Stafford walks in. And while Matthew Stafford was in the room, I turned to one of the interns. I was like, oh crap, That's Matthew Stafford right there. Like,
so you fanboyed, huh? You fanboyed on him?
Yeah, I blushed. Yeah. I blushed. I was like,
oh my God.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's hilarious.
I had to like really compose myself. Like, I'm not even joking. And then,
no, yeah, I know you're not. I've been there. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No. And then, like, again, seeing Aaron Donald every day and all that kind of, a Hall of Famer, like, it's these moments where you're like, oh my God. But to answer your question, I think probably by the, I would say probably by the middle of that season, or that summer, I should say, because I realized that, yes, these guys are NFL athletes. I think my work motor turned on at some point, and my mindset turned
your
on.
Mind clicked. You clicked.
Yeah.
Turned it on. Yep.
100%. And
that totally makes sense.
Yeah, my work and my mindset turned into not that, oh my God, I'm here. It almost turned into like, okay, how can I stay here? That's how it flipped. And ever since that time, after that summer, and then the summer I had the opportunity to go to Vegas for the Raiders, it was, and ever since that, it just was a mindset of, okay, I'm with these players now. These guys, I want to stay with these guys. I want to work with these athletes and work with the best, because that makes me the best. That the way I become the best athletic trainer possible is by working with the best at their sport. You know what I mean?
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Yeah. I get that. Now let's talk about the other Raiders. So we're talking Raiders today. All we're discussing Raiders.
Raiders.
Yeah. Sorry. Raiders.
Before we go on, are you guys, do you guys have camp in Oxnard again? You know? Or is that a different team? That's the Cowboys. Oh, you can't tell.
Oh, yeah.
Oxnard, so Cowboys are in Oxnard. Yeah. And then the Saints are in LA, and then Rams and Chargers are in LA.
And the Raiders keep everything quiet. And
I've been there before.
If you happen to find it, sometimes you get thrown out. Isn't that right, Gabriel?
Yeah, I was asked to leave. It was back in 1990. I think it was 93 or 94. I can't remember. It was a while ago. I was working a job, quit, and I thought, I've got the rest of the day.
I do with the rest of the day off after quitting the job? Let me think.
I got my car. I found the address. It was on Lindy's football annual. You know, they had the training camp addresses to all teams. So I got my car and I drove. I pulled in after asking a couple gas stations where it was. I'm walking, and I wasn't going to bring this up. I swear to gosh, I wasn't going to.
Oh, I was going to the whole time. Okay. I knew I would.
That's the
so
only
don't
reason
worry
I'm
about
saying it.
It's a great story. It's hilarious.
I'm a total fanboy. You know, I'm serious, man. I grew up watching the Raiders. Seriously, I saw Bo Jackson, his 92-yard run against the Bengals on, I can't remember which game it was, at the Coliseum.
He's going to add violins
post. I could draw up their offensive formation on that play.
Oh my!
I loved it. Oh my gosh! So anywho,
see the tears welling up in his eyes right now. Yeah,
The autumn wind's playing in the background in my head right now. You know, So I get out of the car and I'm walking through the parking lot, and they've got these little cabanas where they were, and it was like a makeshift shack. And I walk by one, and there I see Willie Gault, Sam Grady, Mervin Fernandez, and Tim Brown, and they're getting their ankles taped. And I'm standing there. I'm like, oh, and that was my first experience with a certified athletic trainer, just so you all know.
And he would have been fanboying right then and there.
Oh my God.
It's the athletic trainer. No, that wasn't it.
I had my little magazine in my hand, hoping to get autographs. I was hoping to get there and watch a practice, because that's what I wanted to do. And the athletic trainers looked at me, and they just kept working. And
well, yeah, that's what we do, right?
Yeah,
Mike, right? And we don't stop; we just keep going.
Tim Brown looked at me and looked away. Sam Grady looked at me and looked away. Willie Gault looked at me and looked away. They looked down. They refused to make eye contact. And I believe it was Mervin Fernandez, either him or James Loft. Anyway, he walks out and's like, "You got to leave. I just got here. You got to leave." And this is the wide receiver. You know, this wasn't the security guard, wasn't the ATC. It was like, "You got to leave. Like, I just got here. I just want to watch practice for a couple of minutes." He goes, "No, man. The old man finds out you're here, He's going to call security. They're going to kick you out. You might get arrested. You got to go now.
We won't say names. We will only presume, but we won't say names.
And I just stood up and was like, please? He goes, no, man, you got to go. Because if we saw you, other people have, you don't have much time. Thank you very much.
Oh my God.
They're looking out for you, kind of.
Yeah, because they have binoculars and everything.
Gavin, their heart, they know all of us wouldn't have bailed Gabe out. He would have been stuck in jail overnight.
I would have been. And Eli wouldn't have done anything.
Oh, no, I wouldn't have bailed him. I would have went, no, going surfing. Sorry, buddy. You're stuck.
And that's when I found out that the Raider practices at that time were completely private.
Oh.
Because they were concerned that they would be recorded and their plays would be shared. Mm. So.
Yeah, but that's a while back. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I love that story. My brother almost got arrested watching his favorite football team.
You gotta leave.
I just got here.
Actually, that's funny. I did see a wanted poster in the facility with your face on it. So that actually that makes a lot of sense. Actually, now
you know what? That wouldn't be the only one, Nick. Yeah. That wouldn't be the only one out there.
And I'd like to see that picture because it was about 100 pounds ago, and beautiful hair, it's nice and curly.
Fabio.
Oh,
yeah. Fabio. All right, shifting gears. Michael, that was a great path to take us down. Thanks for helping on that one. Going with the Raiders, the community college Raiders, it's a lot different in our situation. We're looking at athletes that are aspiring to get to that level. And you know that, I know that. They have dreams. Nowadays, community college for football is becoming more important every year, especially with the whole NIL thing and people trying to maneuver down to a school to go up to a school. It's a little nutty, a little chaotic, but with that, it's different for us at that kind of institution. What are some of the unique healthcare needs of those student athlete populations that you're dealing with at a community college? Because you don't have that upper 2%, let's say, of athletics. So you're going to be dealing with some unique, different needs. What are some of the unique things that you see and deal with?
I'd say for us, the most unique situations usually come from guys who decide to come to Moorpark that are from out of state. So we'll have guys from Texas, guys from New Jersey, who I don't know how our coaches do it.
We had
one of my favorite athletes, he wouldn't mind if I said his name, but came from Jersey. Literally has never played football before. He was working out with like a coach over summer. He was a basketball player, just a good athlete in general. And then he came here and he was a corner, never played, tore it up. And now he's actually going to go D1. It's crazy. But the needs are like, they're living in an apartment with 4 to 5 other dudes. If mom and dad aren't around. So you kind of can step in almost as that figure where they're coming to you for like,
you become
any
a
little
father
need.
Figure almost.
Yeah. And, they're like,
yeah.
Either guidance. Yep. Guidance or like an ear infection. Like, what am I doing? We have like work with our healthcare center up in the college. Most of the time it's the out of state guys. I mean, you have guys from in town, they have their moms and dads. You basically never, they don't come to you as often, but the really unique ones, guys from Texas who all of a sudden break their arm. They're like, what do? We have to manage the insurance and what doctors to send them to and go down that whole trail. It's really the step in for mom and dad, their first time away from home and just being like, what do I do now?
Surrogate parent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
But it's, I mean, a lot of the time those relationships are awesome and become better over time.
Now feel free to shout out his name if you'd like and give him a little nod.
His name's Burton Plaside. He also actually played basketball for a little bit after his last football season, but then was like, I don't want to get hurt. I'm just going to just stick to the football.
Smart move. And it kind of worked out. If he's going to get a shot at a D1 place to play, that's kind of fun.
Yeah, I think he deserves it. Pretty cool.
Nice little antidote there. Now back over to Nick, which we never used to say, but now we do. it's kind of fun. So Nick, little bit. So Mike and I, we have a different situation. We get to know our athletes at a different level because we are surrogate parents at times. We really are. At the high school level, obviously from 8 to 5, 8 to 6, that's when I'm an extended parent, but I can reach out at any time. Michael maybe for a year or two, every now and then maybe a third year athlete if they play a second sport, right? Or if they gray or redshirt.
Redshirts. And then plus the COVID years, the last couple of years we've had 2 4-year athletes, to be honest.
That's right.
And they were our stars.
We had some
well, there were 30 by the time that happened.
So. I was like, you guys are grown women playing against little girls.
Not fair at that point. Yeah, we had a few of our seniors asking, can I get a COVID red shirt? Guys, it doesn't work at high school that way. No, good luck. Looking now, we deal with different pressures. You know, Mike and I in the clinical setting, we're dealing with younger aspiring athletes hoping to get to that level. Completely different pressures, completely different mindsets. You got a little bit of a high pressure situation at times. How do you handle those high pressure situations with a professional athlete?
You bring up a good point. These guys are worth millions of dollars at the end of the day. Their health and the success of the franchise is kind of up to us if they do go down.
It comes down to it, doesn't it? I mean, that's no pressure on you, but there is.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think we do a really good job with our head athletic trainer definitely does a really good job with communicating with the GM, head coach, and when a player's down, and gives them a timetable, but doesn't give them an unrealistic one so we can work with the athlete and get them back on the field. It's a really good team environment for our medical staff.
And what kind of staff does that include?
So we have 5 full-time athletic trainers. One of them is a dual credential PT and ATC. And then we actually have a dual credential physician assistant athletic trainer, which is really cool because he handles most of the gen med stuff.
Nice. A PA ATC. That's really cool. Yeah.
No, it's actually, I recommend, and he will always preach this, but any aspiring athletic trainer who wants to go into the NFL should look into PAs because there's going to be a lot of dual credential DPTs and ATCs out there, but there's not a lot of PA ATCs.
That's very true. And you can do a lot with the position that way. That's
100%. And yeah. So he's literally our liaisons to the doc. He can administer IVs. He can prescribe medication. So we really don't need to have a doc every day at the facility. We have a PA there who can do most of the stuff. And then the 3 others are athletic trainers, have a huge amount of experience.
Full-time ATs, lots of experience.
Lots of experience. Like
lots of rehab, lots of evals.
Yeah, 20, 25 years plus of experience. 2 of them are actually like our director of rehabilitation. He's going on to his, I think it's like, he always says his 25th year in the NFL, but he's done more, I believe.
A lot more than that.
And then we have me and another certified athletic trainer as rotational athletic trainers. And then we also have a part-time athletic trainer who is pretty much a full-time, part-time athletic trainer. They're still a big help to our team. So we have 9 people or 8 people, 8 or 9 people on our staff at all times, which is a great help. And it really helps disperse the pressures of all the guys going down because we're also split into position groups. So like when the guys come in and if they're hurt, they go to us, like their specific position group, unless it's a high name, high caliber guy, and they'll go usually to the head or other full times.
That makes sense.
It's stressful for sure. But when it comes down to it, the way we work and the way we communicate with everyone in the organization really disperses that pressure really well.
Do you have some like really sick liability insurance?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Yeah, we do. Oh my God, yeah. No, we need that.
Elevate your knowledge, ignite your curiosity, and compete with the best minds at events hosted by the American Academic Competition Institute. AACI's sports medicine competitions feature practical exercises, challenging quizzes, specialty tests, and keynote speakers that foster knowledge and social engagement in healthcare and sports medicine. Go to AACITest.org for more information on upcoming regional and national competitions. Sign up for the Ultimate Intellectual Showdown.
I've got a question for both of you in regards to staff and logistics in dealing with players. How often does your staff meet to go over athlete injuries, where they are, all that great stuff?
Staff meetings. Oh, yes.
Yeah. My situation is interesting. We just have I mean, that's actually a decent amount for community college is three. A lot of people are two or one. Some of the nicer ones have four. All three of us, I could move in my chair 5 feet and touch both of them. So we're talking all day. But the main thing that is hard when it comes to community college, a lot of the coaches aren't full-time. So they're part-time. So they're not on campus all day. And so communicating injuries, because some their players sometimes won't even tell the coach because they want to keep playing, but they'll come in to us. So it's hard sometimes with how busy it can get. We know how busy an athletic training clinic can get of communicating with those coaches. Some of the coaches are good. They'll stop by the clinic and talk to us, and we get to have a meet and be like, what's the update? Where are my guys at? Football is a little bit of a different story. We just have a spreadsheet where we just can update players, where we do like likely, unlikely out for practice, what's going on, that our coach is pretty good at following. And then the rest, we meet every day, basically. I mean, yeah, we're there every day together. Nick, I'm interested to hear your answer for that one.
Yeah, luckily we don't have 12 other sports to worry about. So we meet every day after practice as a whole team. We just do an injury report meeting, go through the injuries, and like you said, Mike, we go through the injuries, we go through how likely they're able to go tomorrow, what's the update, what do they do today, how they feel today, that kind of stuff. We do that every day. And then at the end of the day, the head athletic trainer gathers all that information that we told him, and he brings it up to the head coach and all the other coaches at the end of the day. So
as a staff, you guys all sit down, disseminate the information to the director or the head, yep. And then he goes and gets to sit in front of the other coaches and spend more of his life in the clinic or on site, letting them know what's going on with whatever the injury is to each player.
100%. 50% of his day is in the facility, talking to coaches, talking to players, doing rehabs, and the other 50% is on the phone with the players, with the coaches, with the admin. So his day is full of, he goes nonstop. His motor, it keeps running. He never gets to sit down.
That's why God created coffee, right?
Right, exactly. And Red Bull. Red Bull is a huge, huge, like everyone drinks Red Bull
I'm more of a coffee guy, but you know.
Are you sponsored, Nick?
Yeah.
Making a little plug.
Red Bull gives you ring. Sponsored by Red Bulls.
At the moment, we are not sponsored by Red Bull, but it, you know, if they happen to call,
you never know.
We're more than willing to have our producer talk with them and see what we can work out.
Plant that seed, guys.
The caffeine level is fine by me. I don't mind those one bit.
I got a topic kind of to piggyback off that I wouldn't mind hearing your guys' opinion on is
let's go for
how
it. Yeah.
Important staffing and coworkers are in this profession, especially.
Can I jump in on that one?
Yes.
So I've got an interesting and unique situation. As you guys know, we have athletic trainers. We're a small private high school and we have two athletic trainers, but we do the hours of Nick daily, because we are also the clinical healthcare professionals on campus for school. So we get there at the beginning of the day and we leave after games and practices. And the beginning of the day could be as early as 7:30, not quite 6:30, but early enough for us. And then you get a game day. I mean, we all know it's a lot of work. So 10 years ago, when it got too much, my administration at that point, when I sat down and showed them the data, were kind enough and polite enough to help me out and get me a second athletic trainer to help. I will never say the word assistant because there is no such thing as assistant athletic trainer. You are an athletic trainer or you're not. He is a colleague and Joel Dorning is fantastic. Working together has been a fun 10 years, but the last 3 to 5 years have become overwhelming. And I was able to, and Mike, you said this a few seconds ago, we were just able to hire our third athletic trainer at our high school. So staffing for us has become so overwhelming that we were able to prove we needed an additional full-time employee. So staffing and being able to identify the location of what you need, the time frame you need it, and what type of clinician you need at that location is so important for the health and safety of, in our case, kids. Our kids are not multi-million dollar athletes. Their legs, their bodies, their arms aren't insured. But I tell you what, they might as well be when their mom and dad looks at them. That's their baby. You talk about Aaron Donald. Truth. I mean, talk about a huge, just magnificent athlete. But he's somebody's baby. And she looks at him just the way every other mommy looks at him or looks at their kid. So they might not be worth a million at that point. But in the eyes of mom and dad, they are. So staffing and getting it right, doesn't matter what level we're at, so important. All right, off my soapbox. Sorry, that's just one I like to jump on.
No, it's a great topic to talk about. Going more on the people you work with part of that, you're spending time with them longer than you're spending with significant others, kids, children. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you see them more often. So if you're working with a great group of people and great team of medical healthcare providers, it's night and day. Like, I've had experiences where I didn't mesh with everyone and it was miserable. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. If I didn't have good company and I didn't like the company around me, athletic training wasn't fun.
My Nick, you don't have to explain your time with Eli.
Oh, no. Nick loves it.
It's okay.
Nick loved it. I saw that coming. We know, the three of us know how much fun we had. So we can just disregard him.
I didn't want to say it. But
I can go back and change that grade. I can still go back and change that grade.
And I say this because I think in my CSUN days, St. Francis was by far my favorite site because of Eli, Joel, and Mike. Because I spent most of my hours with them and y'all made it fun and it made athletic training the career that I knew I wanted. You know what I mean?
Mike, I think he got the check and it cleared. We're good. you know what, though? You're right. I mean, it really comes down to the staff, having the right staff, having the right people, but having that camaraderie. Because like you said, I see them more than my own family some days, some weeks. Yep. And you've got to have that collegial fun. I mean, we had a blast.
Yeah.
Those Friday football game days, there's especially after we finish, everything's packed up and we're coming home and maybe we get food or we get food on the way there. Those moments are like the moments I remember that are so funny. Nick dies laughing every time thinking about it.
The amount of times I cried tears of because I was laughing so hard at Mike and his jokes, you could fill a swimming pool. And I think, you know, he wanted to do more because he knew that I would cry of laughter every single time.
We did have some fun joking around over there, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Those are good. I just wanted interesting, like a topic to talk about because I think either in our schooling or at some point we've experienced a clinic where, like you said, people don't get along and it makes things miserable. Like so bad. And just kind of talking about how important it is to get along with people and it makes all the difference for sure.
Well, in our profession, it's a people profession. We are caregivers, givers. We give of ourselves every day. If we can't get along with people, or if we're making that environment, you know, I don't want to say toxic, but uncomfortable and awkward, we're not doing our job because the healthcare is not going to be at the level it needs to be. So, yeah, great question, actually. Maybe we should have Michael back co-hosting. Bump out the guy we brought in.
I'm back at St. Francis. Back at St. Francis. Everything's
well. All you need is the headphones, right? On a Friday night, headphones. Those were always fun.
And I feel like, especially in our situation, our jobs, we do it because it could be so so fun. We had in our clinic, and I feel like it's at this point, maybe for my coworkers I've talked to, the students, it can be somewhat of like a rare, like you guys at St. Francis have it right, and you do it right for sure.
Well, I appreciate that. We're very fortunate.
It was awesome.
We were very lucky. I mean, the hiring, how it went, Joel and I get along so well. It's almost in it. It's quite frankly a joke how close we act like brothers half the time. If Gabe and I and Joel were to sit down, you would think how we act would be just like brothers. There's no doubt in my mind. He'd be perfect at the Thanksgiving table. And our new clinician, Victoria, who helps out all the time, she just fits perfectly as well. So, you know, we're very fortunate. Not everybody is always as fortunate. When you make that hire, you don't know if the person is really, truly who they put themselves out to be. But it makes it easier to those 12 and a half hour days if you like the people you work with. Right, Nick?
Hands down. The Raiders staff are some of the funniest, but also they're one of the funniest people I've ever met and worked with. But they're also very supportive. They know where I am. They know I'm still, you know, a young athletic trainer trying to better myself, and they're going to do their due diligence to help me out.
And that's fantastic. And,
I mean, like, to get that from a professional athletic training staff is out of this world. I'm super grateful to be in the position I am and work with the athletic trainers I work with, because they make, like you said, Eli, they make the 12 to 14 hour days all worth it.
Now, just to be clear real quick, you guys graduated 2020, so you've only been certified a handful of years. How long, Michael, have you been working with the Raiders of Moorpark?
I got almost straight out of school. I got hired. It was we're coming out of COVID. I got hired as like my assistant athletic trainer / COVID testing coordinator. Cause we had to, oh my gosh.
Oh yeah. That's a whole nother episode. And maybe we'll call you back for that one. Cause my God.
A lot of my time, I mean, I helped out in the clinic, but a lot of the time was making sure people were, they tested and they're good. They're good.
Looking at noses, baby. Yep. Looking at nostrils.
They're good to go. But basically 3 years at this point. I went to CSUN. I went to Moorpark, or not CSUN. I went to St. Francis as a student. I went to Moorpark as a student. And I guess I did okay, since both people were somewhat interested in hiring me at some point. But
that was Joel. That wasn't me.
three years. My coworkers are awesome, so I kind of stuck around. And I mean, I was only talking about that because just recently I was met up with a guy from my cohort who, because during COVID, we were talking about how Nick, you got out right before COVID hit, or like as COVID was hitting, you graduated.
Yeah. So my graduating class was the first class that didn't walk. That was 2020. Yeah. Yeah.
Our graduation got delayed because we couldn't get clinical hours. We couldn't get clinical hours. So we got kicked back a little bit. So they gave us the option, like, okay, your graduation's delayed. You can either graduate now as a kinesiology major and you can move on, or you can wait, finish the hours, and you'll graduate as a athletic training. And then you can take the BOC and all that, the board of certification test. But the buddy I was talking to decided, because we just recently went back to our clinical sites, and I was talking about just our last topic, like the athletic training room environment. He had bad experiences the entire time and was like, you know what, I'm just going to graduate as a bachelor's and move on. It was a bummer, but that's why I kind of brought it up. I think it's something super important that students and athletic trainers moving forward should kind of like focus in on, depending on where they go, or I mean anywhere they go. Like, you have such a good opportunity to have such a like cool environment with athletes and stuff to take advantage of it.
You know, and I'll piggyback on that for young athletic trainers. Get your master's, pass the BOC. If your first job is miserable to you and you don't like the staff, and, you know, maybe you're second guessing athletic training, maybe you're not in the right spot.
It's not the career, it's the location.
Exactly. You know, if you fell in love with athletic training, you can't let a location ruin that love and passion for what you want to do. If it's not clicking, if the team's not, you know, working out, or you don't like the location you're at, that's not the end of your athletic training career. Not to be cliche, but there's always greener grass. There's always a spot that you will feel respected, welcomed, and with open arms as an athletic trainer.
Well said. Now, Nick, to you, how long have you been with the Raiders of Las Vegas?
Yes, so 2022 was my first summer with the team. And then I guess I was good enough to get a call back and say, can you do another summer? And that summer is when they told me that they wanted me to become the part-time, full-time kind of position. So going into my second summer, I knew that I had a seasonal job with them. It was still hourly, but
it's a foot in the door.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, exactly. What's a part-time, full-time? You're paid as a part-time, but you're working full-time hours?
The way I see it is you're part-time because you're hourly, but you're working full-time hours. So it was, at some points, it was great money. I was getting double overtime some days during training camp.
Like only some days? I'd figure it'd be every day.
Training camp probably was every day. You're right. But I mean, I loved it. Yes, you did get the stigma of being part-time with the guys sometimes and all that kind of stuff that comes with it. But you're still working as a young athletic trainer in professional sports. And that's where I want to be at the end of the day. So I took it with a grain of salt. That was this last season. So the 2023-2024 season, probably around January, February of this year, I was asked to become the rotational athletic trainer. It's a 2-year, not contract, but you have an annual contract.
two-year guaranteed.
It's not guaranteed. It's not quote unquote guaranteed because if you, for a lack of a word, mess up.
Yeah.
You know, if you mess up, they can, you know, tell you to bugger off and see you later.
But I just heard the British in you come out.
Yeah. Appreciate that. That never happens. So it's usually a 2-year gig. So I'm looking to be here for another 2 years. So in total, I've been a Raider or a Las Vegas Raider for 2 years in total. And then hopefully this season and then the next season after that. So total of 4.
And then the hope is to see that progress into a longer term career, hopefully.
The dream is that's the dream, Eli. The dream is to, you know, hopefully get lucky, right timing, because that's all it is in the NFL. It's all about timing and it's all about who goes at the time that you're trying to get in.
A little luck. Doesn't matter where you're at.
Just a little bit of luck.
I mean, I swore up and down, I was bound for the NFL, and I got the spot I was meant to be at. There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah.
Would I have loved the NFL? Oh God, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I know the impact I make at my school is just as important. Granted, my athletes aren't million-dollar kids, but I try and treat them like that every now and then, depending on how much caffeine I have in my system, of course. We're going to go just a couple more questions because, believe it or not, we've already been going an hour. And, you know, I never like to keep you guys too long because, we're cutting into your sleeping time.
Yeah, my bedtime's in about 20 minutes. So.
Oh, my God. I'm just getting going about that point. Wow, and I'm old. Oh, if you could say something, and this is going to be a similar question to both of you. Looking back at another young athletic trainer, or as we call them, young professional. Mike, you think back to the version of you that I met all those years ago that we had a blast with. But if you could look back at that person and think of someone new, or if you bumped into one of those interns that reminds yourself of yourself, what would you tell them now as far as looking forward to the profession? Pearls of wisdom, pearls of knowledge to further their career.
That's a tough one. I mean, I would kind of what Nick was saying, I've kind of been harping on it because I'm now I get to be in your shoes now where I'm kind of a preceptor at Moorpark College where I'll get students that I get to work with from the CSUN program. And so I do kind of do this. I've been saying to continue your education, even though I don't even have a master's.
Yeah.
Continue it and either pursue into like a PA or something similar to that is my, I mean, obviously athletic training is awesome. Make sure that you love it, getting to work with athletes. You get to watch sports. I mean, you're getting paid to watch sports.
Front row seat, enjoy it. Front row seat to every game.
Yeah.
Like, right, Nick?
Make it.
Yep.
I hate going to pro games now. It's just not the same.
I'm the same way. Like, if I'm not on the sideline of a football game, I'm kind of like, I don't really, this isn't fun. Why do I want to watch?
Yeah, once the adrenaline is out of there, then it's not really exciting.
Yeah, it's just a game then. It's like, yeah, okay. All my friends ask me, don't you watch the NFL on the weekend? I'm like, I live football every Friday. It's kind of, that's where it is. You need that adrenaline.
That's what I would say is make sure, enjoy it, and then continue your education. Talking about football sidelines, I think I still have a picture of Nick back when we were both there, where you were hands on your knees on the sideline, like staring straight at the field, so invested. It's so funny.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
I got to see that picture. You got to send that to me. Yeah. Now, Nick, similar question to you. You know, if you were to sit down to your younger self or have another student that was reminded you of yourself, what would you tell them? What kind of pearls of knowledge or wisdom would you give them?
I would tell them to stay patient. Not everything's a race. You know where you want to be at. You know the level that you want to be at. You don't have to put yourself down if you're not there yet. One of the athletic trainers at the Raiders, I'll shout him out, Lamar Mosley, gave me some great words of advice. He said that things don't happen on your time, they happen on time. So
that's a great comment. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I keep
great that comment, Lamar.
I keep that philosophy with me. I'll keep that forever now. Because I'm the type of athletic trainer person in general that gets hard on themselves when I'm not where I want to be, like in career, anything goal-wise. I need to be better at taking everything slow. And if I work hard enough and if I take the time to do what I want to do, I will get to where I want to be. It just comes with time.
I understand that because we're all very similar. I mean, we want something, we don't want to wait. We're going to slap it into, we're going to shift into sixth gear and just floor it, bulldoze down through it, get whatever the barrier is out of the way, get it done. Yeah. But like he said, sometimes you just got to be patient and wait. And that's true.
Yeah.
That's something I still need to work on at my age is patience. No comment, Gabe.
Oh, there's not enough time. There isn't.
That's funny.
I've got one question for each of you.
Yeah.
Okay. It's the same question. Michael, I'd like to start with you. I'm going to be selfish because I'm a total Raider fanboy. I want to finish it with Nick. What's your favorite experience where you are right now in your clinic? What's your most favorite moment that you've had where you are right now?
There's a lot. That's.
I'm so glad I didn't go first.
Let me go. Let me help you guys out.
Okay.
It's real simple. I see it every semester when an intern gets it right. Because it's not about me. It's not about the kids. It's about you guys learning and becoming better and getting to where you are now.
Yeah.
That's definitely a good one. I kind of get a little taste of that now when we have our seasoned students there. I think my favorite so far was I had a long-term ACL reconstruction rehab. This is one of those four-year athletes who COVID, red shirt, somehow managed to go all 4 years, basketball player. And then working with her over summer, the whole time, then finally coming back and clearing her to go back to her first practice, I think is my favorite. The amount of things that they go through once they get injured with their mental mindset, their body changes completely. You're not playing your sport. You have to grind back through all that. And then getting to clear her to go to her first practice again, you see like tears of joy and all that. That was probably my favorite moment.
And let's be honest, did you tear up a little bit too?
Oh, it's you definitely fight it a little bit for sure.
I mean, no matter how tough we pretend to be, we tear up.
Oh yeah.
That's awesome, definitely. Michael.
Yeah. I feel like my answer is super lame compared to your guys's.
We got him again, Mike. Happens every time, right, buddy?
He accidentally kicked some NFL player in the shin or something.
Yeah, no, I almost tripped Coach McVay one time with a pumper.
I knew there had to be something.
We're not going to talk about that one.
But we got it on audio, so we'll save it forever.
Great. Yeah. Good thing I'm not with the Rams anymore. I'm kidding. But my favorite, mine is more of an experience that we have almost every day now, it seems, but the atmosphere of the training room when all the guys are in, and we have this thing every day where we're big on sports trivia. And so it started with me and two of the other athletic trainers who would just, you know, we'd hear trivia or we'd look up, we'd make our own trivia, and we just test each other out like every day, like, oh, what's this? It's now to the point where the rookies of this year are coming in after meetings. So at 5 p.m., these guys are coming in to the training room just to hear today's trivia.
Nice.
Guys like, I don't want to say names, but there's a lot of guys that come in and they ask for it every single day. They're like, all right, Nick, what's next? What's today? And then now it's to the point where players are actually making their own trivia and testing us. So it's like, it's been going on for probably a month or two now of these sports trivia questions that are, it just takes up the whole treatment time, but it makes the treatment time way more enjoyable, way more fun. And you're just kicking it with these guys and, you know, it's a great time. It's awesome. I said previously, one of those surreal moments that you're just like, I'm literally just talking trivia to NFL athletes. Like it's nothing. Like it's, I gotta pinch myself. Like this is a dream right here. You know what I mean? Yeah.
That's awesome. That's the moment. It's become collegial. You've become friends and friends. Yeah. Just like the pictures that I'm taking a look at right now. Thank you.
Can the cover of this week's podcast or wherever this gets sent, can it be a zoom in of the picture right here? The red.
Which one? You are
the black shorts. Now, just a zoom in of that.
You send that to me and I'll see what I can do.
Yeah. Be careful. He's working on
I'm doing
special edition covers right now. So
oh yeah.
That could be it.
I love it. It'll be a silhouette.
But oh my God, look at that. That was back in the day. That was a lot of fun. I forgot you guys had helped at the spine boarding. Yeah, look at that. Great pictures. Great pictures. Oh, love it. Obviously, we could probably talk for another 2 hours because we always had a blast. But Mike is going to become a pumpkin in just a few minutes, it sounds like, if he doesn't go to bed. So we're going to cut this short now. I'm going to say thank you for joining us. Nick, Mike, it's been fun to be part of your adventure into athletic training and your journey getting to where you're at. I know, Michael, I just got to see you a couple of weeks ago in your environment, which is kind of neat when I get to see you guys that way. And Nick, hopefully some point I'll see you more than just on TV.
Yeah, sick invite, by the way. That's really, I appreciate the invite.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. Did you not get my address or anything like that? I don't
know. Well, actually, he didn't invite me. Darby did, but he just happened to be there.
Right.
So it was all good. I just pretended he did it, but yeah.
No, but, I mean, like, thank you for inviting us. I don't want to speak for Mike, but I think he would say the same thing, that you were a pivotal person in our program, or in our athletic training. You know,
I appreciate that. Thanks.
Not Joel.
Okay. And we're not editing that out. That's staying in. And I know Joel would say the same thing, that yes, I was the pivotal part. Guys, you're always so fun to be with, and I appreciate you. I'm so happy we were finally able to work this out, because I know between all your schedules and mine, this took a good month to work out. But thank you for being on the podcast. Thank you for sharing your experiences, your thoughts, and good luck the rest of the season, the rest of the year. Nick, good luck getting a few hours of sleep every day. And Michael, enjoy, you're about to get a month off, right?
I'm currently in it. It ends June 17th.
Enjoy that last week and a half then, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, you guys have a great week and a great weekend coming up. And thanks for being on Wrap It Up Sports Medicine More. Have a great day, guys. Talk to you later.
See everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Want to make sure you hear every episode? Remember to like, follow, and subscribe to our podcast. Don't forget to share our podcast with your colleagues, family, and friends. Your support will help more people find and enjoy our content. Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More is directed by Eli Hallett. It is produced by Gabriel Hallett. Our theme music is by Coma Studios via Pixabay. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are solely those of the contributors. Want to know more about us? Visit us at wrapituppodcast.com. That's with one P, wrapituppodcast.com. Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More is a production of Hallett Consulting, LLC.